Meeting everyone. As I started preparing this, I was thinking, if I were in your shoes right now, coming to a class, it's Wednesday night, Rosh Hashanah is less than a week away, I would look for something inspirational, something to really, pick me up, to move me, to inspire me, to be able to daven, to get through the yontif, which is a long, difficult day in the preparation before. That's certainly the attitude that I always had when I was in yeshiva, and I would go here shmooze in the weeks, days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, look for something inspiring. But I decided not to do that this evening. I decided not even to try. So please do not expect anything inspiring whatsoever. The reason for that, as you shall see, is that I decided it would be entirely, I shouldn't say entirely pointless, that's a little bit harsh. But let's just say I decided against it. And part of the reason is for the following Rambam that I'd like to share with you, why I decided not to even attempt to inspire you to greatness. The Rambam points out, in a way, a Rambam which is oft quoted this time of year. I always try to avoid the word famous Rambam. The meaning of the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. And he describes it in a way that I think speaks for itself. And we will discuss as we go along. Let me share with you the words of the Rambam. I hope many of you will have heard some of these words before, but we will start with this as a springboard for tonight's discussion. Says the Rambam in Hilchos, in Hilchos Tshuva, actually. So the Rambam writes, "Afal pi shetkia shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiros hakosu." The fact that we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's a decree. God says on Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar. We don't really know the reason. We don't have a reason. It'd be impossible ever to come to a clear-cut decision. This is why we blow shofar. No. It's gzeiros hakosu. Hashem wants us to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Nonetheless, says the Rambam, remez yeshbo. There's a hint. There is some meaning that we can pull off out of such a concept that we do, in fact, blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Kolomar, says the Rambam, what are we supposed to be thinking as we hear the shofar? Says the Rambam, Uru Yeshenim Mishinaschem. Wake up, sleepers, from your sleepiness. Vinir Domim Hekitsu Mitirdamchem. And those in a deep slumber shall arise and awaken from your deep slumber. Repeats the same phrase in two different ways. Basically, the shofar, says the Rambam, is an alarm clock. It's an alarm clock. It's a wake-up call. When you hear the sound of the shofar, it's screaming to you, wake up! Chipshu b'ma'aseichem. Look into your word, your deeds, your actions. V'chazru b'tshuva. Return in repentance. V'zichru b'yirachem. This is a key phrase, in my opinion, for tonight's purposes at least. And wake up and do what? And remember your Creator. Zichru borachem. Remember as you're waking up from your deep slumber, wake up and remember your Creator. Then the Rambam continues, Elu hashoikhen, those who have forgotten truth. Elu hashoikhen esa emes. Behevle hazman. Why have they forgotten truth? Because they've gotten involved in things which are literally wastes of time. They've gotten involved in things which have no eternal or significant meaning. V'shoigim kol shinasem v'hevel v'rig. They spend their entire days in nothingness, meaningless pursuits, which will not help them or save them from anything. Look into your soul, says the Rambam. Change your ways and leave that path which you have had and those thoughts which have not helped you. Adkan, those are the words of the Rambam. Inspiring words, says the Rambam. This is all that we are supposed to be thinking as we hear the sound of the shofar. The shofar blows and the Rambam says it's a wake-up call. You're sleeping. You're walking around, but you're asleep even with your eyes open. Wake up from your slumber. Wake up from your sleepiness. Remember your Creator. Those who have forgotten the truth in their pursuits of wastes of time type of activities, change your ways, change your paths, and look forward to a different path and direction. Those are the words of the Rambam. Now, it's of course appropriate that that would be the timing of the shofar. Rosh Hashanah, of course, is a time where we celebrate the commemoration of man's creation. Sages say that Hashem began to create the world on the 25th day of Elul, which will be tomorrow. And therefore, 6 days later, which is Rosh Hashanah, it commemorates the creation of man. So this is the day that man has, so to speak, been created. And any day as we go through the cycle of time, on the day that we ourselves were created, gives us a new ability to therefore declare Hashem as king, because that is Ein Melech below Am. You cannot have a kingdom without constituents, you can't, you need people. And so now that we've been created, we have this ability to declare Hashem King. So how appropriate a message, says the Rambam, that on that day you should hear the shofar, have your wake-up call, and you should be inspired to change all of your ways, waking up from your slumber. Now, the problem with this is, all of us have heard the shofar many, many, many times. For many, many years, we go through the experience of Rosh Hashanah and we hear the shofar. I don't want to say that the shofar is not a moving experience, because I hope in reality it is for most of us. That we hear the shofar and the cry of the shofar pierces something deep within us and you can hear that. I don't know whether or not it achieves this that the Rambam wants for it to achieve. The Rambam has lofty goals for the shofar. The Rambam expresses, this will wake you up from your slumber. This will change your path in life. You will be a different person. If you just experience the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, all will be anew. You'll have a new perspective, you'll have a new outlook, and everything will be like that. So Rav Shlomo Volbe was a great leader in Mussar, lived in Eretz Yisrael, passed away a couple of years ago. So he writes, how long does it last? Till the end of Musaf? Maybe? So I read that and I laughed. End of Musaf? Wow. Can't imagine. If you hear shofar, and then you start your own sign. If I got to the end of Musaf, and I was still somewhat inspired from the shofar, even if on a good yontif, a good Rosh Hashanah, as I'm hearing the sounds of the shofar, and you feel something, you feel moved. That's a good yontif, right? Not the yontif where you run in, you dash, you hear, you don't hear, you don't feel anything. I'm talking about a good yontif. You sit there, you listen, you concentrate, it's somewhat moving, and that's fantastic. We should always have years like that. To the end of Musaf, you still remember, you're still inspired, you're still awake and alive from that time for a full half hour to an hour later at the end of Musaf, and even that would already, he said it in a way like, look how far we've fallen. We're only inspired till the end of Musaf. Thinking, wow, that was only a couple of years ago he wrote that. I'm happy if I'm inspired even by the last of the blows and the first couple ones. And then you hear 30, 60, like how many can you hear and still be inspired? So despite the fact that the Rambam holds, this is it. So I thought, so we should try to come up with some form of inspiring message. Women are allowed to sit back there, despite the fact that there seems to be a women's section. So says the Rambam, can you be more inspired than from the shofar itself? Shofar seems to be in the Rambam's world the most inspiring thing. This will wake us up. The Rambam is so much so right, the very next words from the Rambam, from the passage that I read to you, the very next words, this again, the context of the Rambam is in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, in which he describes the laws of repentance. And he writes immediately after this, where he'd been describing the concept of judgments, both that takes place at the end of a person's life, and the judgment that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, in which the heavenly scales weigh those positives and those negatives that we've done. The very next words from the Rambam are lefikach, therefore a person needs to keep in mind the entire year, as if he's exactly in the middle, half with merit, half with demerits, if you will, chatzi zakai, chatzi chayiv, and every step you take will tilt the scales one way or another. And says the Rambam, not just you individually are balanced right in the middle, so that every step you take, every moment, every waking moment of your life, you need to be thinking, I'm right in the middle, I don't want to take a misstep, I got to be careful. Says the Rambam, and you need to view the entire world as if it's exactly balanced in the middle. And it's resting on your shoulders. Which way are you going to go? Because if you take a step to the positive side with a mitzvah and that which we need to do, not only will you tip the scales in your personal favor, you will tip the entire scales of the world in favor of the schus of merit. But if you make a misstep and you go the other way, not only are you taking yourself down, but you're taking the entire world down with you. And says the Rambam, that's the way that a person needs to live one's life, with that perspective, that literally not only your life, but the world's life is hanging in the balance. Says Rav Shlomo Volbe, and it sounds like from the Rambam, and that's the sound of the shofar is supposed to carry you through the whole year. The Rambam writes, when you hear the shofar, you're awake, and you're sleeping until then, but now you are awake, and we mean spiritually awake. You are in tune, you are ready to go. Not only is your yontif inspired, you can just take that inspiration, and the whole year you have this mindset of, I'm walking in the middle, and either way that I go. Now, I'm sure that the Rambam, when he heard the shofar, accomplished that. That's without question in my mind. That's what the Rambam was doing. you know, I can't quite say on myself that that sound of the shofar, I mean, I've heard the shofar every morning now since the beginning of Elul. And, you know, you run off as soon as you step out of the door, that's a thing in the past. So the inspiration, so I was thinking, it's Wednesday night, so we should give an inspiring shmooze on Wednesday night. The shofar doesn't even last till Musaf. What more can I possibly add than the Rambam said already from the shofar, which doesn't really even last? But the truth is, I think there's an important lesson in this. There's a tremendous lesson in terms of our preparation over the fact that the Rambam understands the shofar is supposed to accomplish something, and I venture to say many of us don't experience it. We don't hear in the shofar that life-altering emotion. It might be inspiring, we might get it, and again, I hope we do get something from it. But do we get what the Rambam wants us to get? Is it a change of course? Does our life change? Do we remember our Creator in a way that we hadn't before and discard the paths that we have taken which weren't appropriate? And then we take that the whole year thinking that every step we take, life hangs in the balance for ourselves and for the whole world? There's what to be taken that doesn't happen for us. That in itself is of note. And I want to point out, the Rambam says it's not just the shofar that's supposed to do this. There are actually a couple of different mitzvahs, parenthetically to this talk, I just want to point out, in which the Rambam seems to have a message that we're supposed to get, and somehow we're missing it. Something is happening. A classic example is the Rambam's understanding of the mitzvah of mezuzah. So mezuzah, how many mezuzahs do each of us pass every single day? Untold, probably I would guess, without even having thought about it, at least 100 every day. Easy. Between every time you go in and out of a door of your house, I mean, how many times you pass through? Easy. Hundreds of times a day do you walk into a room that has a mezuzah fixed to the door. Do you know what the Rambam says about the experience of walking into a room that has a mezuzah on the door? You want to hear something? Listen to the way the Rambam describes the experience of a Jew walking into a room that has a mezuzah. Chayiv adam lizoyer b'mezuzah. A person needs to be very careful, says the Rambam, on this mitzvah of a mezuzah, because it is a chayvas hakol, and it always applies. If you have a home, you have a room, it's always there, the obligation to have a mezuzah on your door. V'kol zman sheyikanes v'yetzei. Every moment, not sometimes, kol zman. Every time, every moment, a person enters or exits. The Yifko B'Yichud Hashem Shemo, he will meet up, when he sees that mezuzah, he sees that cloth, the parchment with Hashem's name, the Shema Yisrael, written, and the other parshios, written into the mezuzah, he'll see the Yichud, the uniqueness, the oneness of Hashem. The Yizkor Ahavoso, it will remind him of his love. The Yeyor Mishinasu, it will wake him from his sleep. Again, that phrase, the Rambam says, we're walking around in a slumber. Every time you walk by that mezuzah, it will remind you of Hashem Echad. You will be aroused from your slumber, the Shigyosav Behevle Hazman, and you're being lost in those pursuits which are wastes of time that will all come flooding to you every single time you walk into a room and encounter a mezuzah. There's more. V'yeda, and you will know, she'ein davar omed la'olam, there is nothing which stands eternal, li'omei olamim, ela yediyas tzor ha'olam, nothing exists in the world that's eternal other than our knowledge of Hashem. Nothing. There's nothing else out there. At the end of days, the question is going to be, how much have you come to know Hashem? How much have you come to know His Torah? How much have you come to know everything about Him that we can physically, possibly, emotionally know as human beings? That is it, says the Rambam. That's the only thing that matters, that's eternal. And you will be reminded of that every single time you walk into a room. Umiyad, and immediately, hu chozer ledaito, he will return to his da'as, his knowledge, his understanding. V'holich bedarcha yishon, he'll walk the path of the straight. Can you imagine what it was like to be the Rambam walking around his house? Can you imagine? If we had that, you walked into a room and those thoughts flooded your mind every time you walked past and you saw the mezuzah and you were reminded, Hashem Echad. There is a God that is Echad, that is one, that is unique, that is, even though we see Him and perceive Him in disparate parts, it's really all one. And you know, the only thing that matters in life is the amount of knowledge that I achieve and my understanding of who Hashem is. Nothing else matters. Of course, you'll be living your life on the straight path. Well, that's probably why the Rambam became the Rambam. I mean, if that's how he lived his life, that's what he thought. If that was his experience, his spiritual experience of running into a room, you know, we're happy sometimes if we remember to kiss the mezuzah, but that's usually where it ends. Like, I just kissed the mezuzah, and maybe we were lucky if that also reminded us that there's a God, there's a Hashem, and that's, we've been successful. That's what it's supposed to do. But the Rambam had a much deeper, a much more spiritual experience. This is what he says: every single one of us, every single time we walk into a room, this is what we're supposed to experience. I venture to say we're still asleep. That's what we're supposed to be woken up every time we walk into a room. So the Rambam points out, he says the almost the exact same thing when it comes to brachos. That the sages, of course, enacted that we need to make 100 brachos a day. When the Rambam describes various types and categories of brachos, he says a similar thing. The purpose of all this, that we should constantly be remembering Hashem every time we make a bracha. Okay, you know, not just remember to make the bracha. This is what we're supposed to remember when we make the bracha. It's supposed to remind us of all of these things. This is what is supposed to accomplish. You see the mezuzah, that's what you're supposed to think about. You make a bracha, of course that's what happens. You hear the shofar? Shofar? That's it. You've been permanently woken for the entire year to walk a path in which you see yourself hanging in the balance, the heavily hazaman, the wastes of time. They don't interest me anymore. I just heard the shofar. Didn't you just hear that? You're still interested in whatever it was that you were interested in before Rosh Hashanah? You keep possibly be after Rosh Hashanah? Didn't you hear that? So I think we're far from such a concept. Why? Why? I don't know why. I mean, there's a simple answer to that. The answer is because we're far from that. I don't think that really needs much of an explanation. We know where we're holding, where we want to go. But that's the goal. That's the way the Rambam sees it. So I want to share a little bit in terms of a deeper understanding of why, as a means to getting us to a place in which we can move a little bit closer. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos which I'm sure you're all familiar with. The Mishnah says, "Eizehu Chacham," who is a wise person? So Mishnah answers, one who learns from others. Halomen mikol adam. Someone who learns from everybody. So the language of the Mishnah doesn't just say learns from others, it learns from everyone. Halomen mikol adam. Someone who learns from everyone. So there's a beautiful explanation of this from Rabbi Simcha Zissel from Kelm, known as the Altar of Kelm, one of the principal students of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is, of course, the founder of the Musar movement, and one of his students writes as follows on that Mishnah. The idea that who is why someone who learns from everybody else. He says, every person, he writes, has a chush be'ezedavar, has a feeling, has a leaning, has an interest in certain things. That which interests one person doesn't interest another. That which one person's profession brings him to care about is not going to be the things which another person's profession will make him care about. And each one of us has those inclinations, those leanings, those interests. And yargish ma'od, and will therefore become very much alert and aware, kishiyire dover ma mizeh ha'inyan, when you see something in that area, what your interests are. If I have this particular interest, when I see that, that makes me very interested. We've all experienced this. This is something which sometimes is so obvious to us, we even note ourselves and laugh at. His examples that he brings is, a tailor will always notice the clothing that other people are wearing. That's what he does for a profession. That's what interests him. He'll notice those things. A shoemaker will notice the shoes, and in our modern day professions as well, an interior decorator, when she walks into a home, will right away notice those things, because that's what they do. And when you do those things, they right away, they jump out at you, and they interest you, and you pay attention to that. The experiences that I'm sure all of you have had, as I have had, if you're looking to buy a new car, so then all of a sudden you notice all the cars on the road. You can tell, you are very much aware of what kind of cars are being driven, because you're into that. You're trying to pay attention. You're looking to see what kind of car you need. It's a major investment, and you see what's going on. Same with, if you're looking for a house, anything that's going on in our own lives, wherever you're focused on, that's what you see. And that's what immediately jumps out at you. That we've experienced. What he says, Reb Simcha Zissel from Kelm, which was to me a tremendous chiddush, but it applies just as much, is he writes, this applies in Avodas HaKodesh, this applies in our service of Hashem in the exact same way. There are many different areas of our avodah. There are many different areas in which we focus our spiritual energies. Sometimes a person is focused on their observance of halach. Sometimes a person is focused on their davening. Sometimes a person is focused on their chesed. A person can be focused on, you name it, their learning, their whatever it may be. There are different areas that we focus on. In the same way as when I'm interested in buying or redoing my bathroom in my home, or redoing the kitchen, or simply looking to buy a new outfit for a child, for Yontif, I see what's out there because that's where my interests lie. And when my interests lie, I'm going to pick it up. Same thing is true in your spiritual world as well. If a person is holding in chesed, if a person is working on that, then they determine either because they're just naturally inclined that way, or they're making an active effort. So this is what I want to work on for this next month or two. I really want to give of my time for others. You will notice all the situations out there where there's an opportunity for chesed. That's what you're looking to do. That's what I want to do. I'm into that right now. So when you're into that, so then that's what you see. And the person next to you will be oblivious to the fact that there was an opportunity to do something that went right by, because they're working on their davening. And so the fact that, you know, two people walk into shul and a mother runs out of shul with two kids screaming with her. So the two women standing next to each other in the women's section will have very different react. One who's working on davening will focus. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Right now is your time. You've gotten away for a half hour. This is your time to daven. So that is totally put aside, and it's focused on what I want to focus on. And the woman standing next to her, who is in her mind, like, okay, look for opportunities to do chesed. It's drop the sitter and run after. How can I help? What do you need? What do you need to get something? Can I hold one of the kids for you? They'll have totally different reactions to the same scenario because they're both seeing it from entirely different areas, even from within a spiritual pursuit. It's not just, you know, buying new kitchens and cars. It's even from where they want to put their spiritual energies, they will perceive those situations differently. It says the Alter from Kelm, you want to know somebody who is wise is someone who is a lomed mikol adam, who learns from everyone. Everyone. Because most of us will learn from a couple of people at a time. If we're focused on this, so then the people who are doing that which we're focused on, they draw our attention because we want to be working on that. But someone who's working on Lashon Hara, if I'm not holding a Lashon Hara right now, I'm busy working on getting to shul on time. And that's where I'm focused on. So the fact that if I'm walking to shul on time and someone's telling me a juicy piece, I'm not there. I can't, or someone, I hear someone tell me not to speak that way. We only do so many things at a time, and I'm focused on something. I didn't notice that. Not paying attention. I have my focus. He says, a person wants to be a lomed mikol adam. Someone who wants to be wise has to pick up from everyone. If you're attuned, if you really are looking to grow, then you will actually notice those things from everyone, because I really want to pick it up from everyone and everything, not just this specific thing. And if you really care about it, then you'll see it. In order to be a lomed, in order to learn from everyone, you really have to want to learn from everybody. Because there are plenty of things to see all over. It's just that we might not be interested in it. Just like if I'm not interested in buying a new car, I don't notice the cars on the road because it has no interest in me. So if I don't have an interest in growing in a certain realm spiritually, I'm also not going to notice the person who's doing something that I have to grow from him, because it doesn't interest me. It's not where I am. It's not where my interest lies, so that grabs my attention. So if you want to be wise, you have to become interested in growing from everyone so that you will actually see and perceive everything that is out there to perceive. And
if everyone got his time, I have a temperature cat for me. Is it just me?
No. That's what he says. So, that being the case, regarding the shofar, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself says as follows: the size of the inspiring element can only be as inspired as the source of inspiration is. A major source of inspiration might be able to inspire you in a major way. A lesser source of inspiration will be able to inspire you in a lesser way. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, you know why we have so much trouble with the shofar? Because the shofar is a pretty simple hint. It's not a major source of inspiration. It's not anyone getting up there and yelling and screaming and explaining to us. It's just the blow of the shofar. If we were holding in a place where we were ready to hear it, If we were holding in a place where our entire days and nights were anyway entirely involved in spiritual pursuits, in looking to grow, we would hear the sound of the shofar and it would be very moving. If you're not in that place, so then a simple hint, such as the sound of the shofar, doesn't really quite do it for us. There's analogous, this is not his example, but my example. So the mitzvah of tzitzis has a blue-greenish thread known as tzchelas, which is supposed to be with it. We don't quite have a tradition in the Torah exactly what that color is, so it's pretty much for, except for the last number of years, maybe 10 years or so, where it's there are many who have claimed that we've rediscovered it, but until that point, certainly nobody had tzchelas. Do you know why we wear tzchelas on our tzitzis? Why does Hashem require of us that amongst the white strings we should also have a string of blue-green? So the Gemara says, because when you see the blue-green thread, you'll be reminded of the sea. When you're reminded of the sea, you'll be reminded of the heavens. Reminded of the heavens, you'll be reminded of God's glorious throne. And therefore, every time you see your tzitzis, through that train of thought, that the blue-green will remind you of this, and that will remind you of that, and that, that, you'll always be thinking of Hashem every time you see your tzitzis. Remember, many over the years hearing the question, I see blue-green color all the time. It's not just the color of my tzitzis. You can look around, and that doesn't remind me of the sea. And that doesn't get me to the heavens, and that certainly doesn't get me to think of Hashem every time I walk around and I see that color on the streets. So what are the sages saying? Oh yeah, put it on your tzitzis, and therefore whenever you see it, that's what you have. And the answer that I remember hearing over the years is this exact idea: if you're looking to find God, well, then when you see a blue-green color on your tzitzis, that will remind you of the sea, which will remind you of the heavens, which will remind you of... Because we've always been through that train of thought before. You know, you start here, and before you know it, you know, you've been all over the world and back, following that train of thought, which just runs wild all over the place. Well, that usually can tell you, like, where you're at, what your interests are, because that's how your thoughts go. If you are really looking to find Hashem everywhere you looked, then yeah, that would make sense. Just like, if you're not, your mind goes everywhere. But it all depends on... What is your perspective? What are you looking to find? What are you looking, where are your interests like? Those are the things that we see. So says Rabbi Saul Salant, the same thing is true with the shofar. That's a small, simple reminder. In the Rambam's understanding of why the sages enacted it is because, yeah, sure, when you hear the shofar, a Jew standing in Rosh Hashanah, having prepared for the entire month of Elul to declare Hashem as the God and the Creator of the world, the simple blow of the shofar will result in that which the Rambam wrote, you will be awakened from your slumber. You will become the person who you've always wanted to become. You will put aside all of the things in the world, and you will be that person. You have to be in that place to hear that. For the rest of us, when we hear that simple reminder, it's a lot harder to get to where we need to get. Okay, has this been depressing enough so far? Okay, so where does this leave us? Where does this leave us? Because the bottom line of this is, right, this is supposed to be inspiring, despite the fact that I'm trying to tell you it's not. You're supposed to learn something about Rosh Hashanah. So it leaves us as follows. Why is it this way? Why is it that it really depends on where you put your interest? Why is it that it depends on what you really want? Why is it that it depends on you have to arouse yourself almost to be inspired by these things? So I'd like to share with you a small passage, a beautiful thought from the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Alutzato, who wrote the Mesilas Yesharim and a number of other works. And he writes an idea as follows. He writes the following idea. If it would be true, if the reality of life would be such that a person's knowledge would be as clear to him in his internal being as it is to him in his head, lo hayu chotim la'olam, a person who would never sin. Never would sin. Because he understands it clearly. When you understand something clearly, if you knew what it did, if that knowledge connected to your emotion in a clear way, like the way we would think it should, then a person, he says, would never ever sin. Someone told me recently that every book on weight loss really only needs to say four words. Eat less, exercise more. Right? That's all it has to say. In fact, it doesn't even have to say that, because we already know that. Mm-hmm. Yet, despite the fact that we know that already, that doesn't stop us ever from the piece of chocolate cake that sits in front of us. We know what we're supposed to do with it. We know whether it's good for us or not good for us. And yet, that's what we do. I am always amazed because I always, always, always find it as I leave a hospital, I find doctors and nurses smoking outside the hospital. Right? That's not, isn't that amazing? Isn't that unbelievable? They don't know what impact that has. They don't see daily the effects of such a behavior. And yet, there they are. And if you ask them, I don't know, they would tell you they're stressed, they would tell you they need to, I don't know what they would tell you. But that's what they would say. We know lots of things. And those are just the two classic examples which are always brought, dieting and smoking. They apply in so many areas of our life. Each one of us individually have behaviors and patterns and habits which we know are really not in our best interest. We know that already. And despite the fact that the knowledge is there, nobody needs to tell you something new. Nobody needs to instruct you on something that you didn't already have. Anytime a person gets up to, it's at my parents' house, so they get all the People magazine and the Newsweek and all of these. So there's always a feature, on the, whether it's the newspapers or magazines, on someone who's on Oprah for losing, 400 pounds. It's like always the new book they wrote and whatever it is. And it's never a story where someone said to them, it's really unhealthy. Oh! And then they change their lifestyle. That's not why they end up on Oprah, because that's not what happens. There's some inspiring story of what actually brought them to change their behavior pattern based on information that they had had for decades, and now they decided to do something about it. Somebody who stopped smoking. So whatever it may be, that's how we are. That is, and it's not a new piece of information. It's changing, it's internalizing it. And we all have these issues, and we can list hundreds of them. There's no need to give examples. We all have them in our own lives, whatever they may be, of things that we do that we've tried to stop, and we haven't been able to stop, and we know that we shouldn't, but we don't. Says the Ramchal, you know why it is that way? Because if it weren't that way, then it wouldn't just affect our smoking habits or our eating habits or our exercise habits. How many of us exercise as much as we're supposed to? Not me, and I know that I need to, and I know that I need to eat in a certain way, and my metabolism allows me to get away with stuff, but I know that I shouldn't be doing it, and I don't exercise, I don't sleep enough, and if I don't drink enough water, that's the easiest one, water. How many of us don't know that the doctors would recommend to drink 64 ounces of water a day? How many of us come close to that? Some of us hopefully are a little bit better. But out there, 64 ounces? Are you kidding me? I could be like 2 cups a day. I'm like happy with that. But that's what we're supposed to. So it's not that we don't know that. And that's not really hard to do. Just carry something around with you and you can get it in. But we don't get it done. Ramchal says it's done that way on purpose because life's not really about those patterns of behavior. It's not really about those. It's really about our spiritual patterns of behavior. And it's the same idea. The exact same idea. If it were such that we were created, that the information that we knew immediately transferred to our behaviors, person would never sin. Because all I would have to do is tell you there is a God, and He is watching what you're doing, and there will be a day at the end of your life where there will be an accounting for it. That's it. You're done. You have that piece of information, your life is changed forever. And there would be nothing more to talk about. That's all that you would need to hear, all that you would need to do. So says the Ramchal, that's why we have that. Now, this impacts us most in the physical world, in our pattern behavior, in our behavior patterns, like I've mentioned, our bad habits. But the Ramchal is talking from a spiritual perspective. Being that, says the Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wanted that a person should be a person of bechira, of free choice, to be able to make decisions, where he would be able, on a scale where he could just as easily go this way as he can go that way. So in order to create that scenario, Yesh Bahem HaYediyah. Now listen to, I want to use his actual words because they're so beautiful. Therefore a person has Yediyah, he has knowledge, Ach Segura Kigacheles, but it is closed like a coal. A coal that's hot, but there's no flame, there's no fire there. It's just the heat is inside, contained within. Shetucho lehis pashet kishal hefes. That's able to be fanned out into a roaring fire. So there's knowledge, but the knowledge is buried within. It's contained within a coal. It has to be fanned out to create the fire, the passion, the knowledge of what it can be. V'habechira biyad ha'adam. And that choice is in the hands of man. is that in the spiritual sense, it's not a matter of knowledge. I don't need to teach you. Now, there's obviously a limit to that. I was a person who doesn't, you need to be taught. I need to get that knowledge. And as you all know, there's a lot of knowledge that needs to be gained in Torah. That's true. But even after we have all that knowledge, that's not the end of it. It's not that you hear one class on any particular law and that's it. You do it forever. We struggle with that in the same way as we struggle with our other behavior patterns. Just because I know it doesn't mean it becomes easy. If I know that there's a certain thing that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos, but it's hard for me not to, I could find myself year after year after year on Yom Kippur saying the exact same thing. I'm still struggling with this particular law on Shabbos. And I'm never saying I don't believe that it's there. I'm never saying I didn't know about it. I'm just saying it's hard for me to get this done. It's not happening. And year after year after year after year, we do the same thing. Not because we lack the knowledge, because we need to fan out that knowledge into the roaring fire that it can be. What does that process? What creates, what changes from the knowledge into reality, into behavior, into action? So that, Revolver writes, as others as well, that is what's called hisboninus. That's called thinking and contemplating and working on it. Because it's not the new piece of information that you need, it's sitting on it, it's preparing it, it's working over it, internalizing it over and over and over again, so that you can take small steps with it, but you can think about and prepare whatever it may be, so that we can internalize the message that's contained within. And this is what I believe really is what is relevant to us as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. I don't need to stand here and say, you know, on Rosh Hashanah is the day that we declare Hashem King of the universe, and we stand here as His subjects, and we say, you are King, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, who has reigned, will reign, and is currently the ruler of the world. Most of that basic idea is, we know that. That's our job on Rosh Hashanah, is to declare Hashem as King. But in order to be able to do that, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. What does it actually mean? Where is the preparation that would actually go into being able to stand before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and actually, actively, successfully be able to do that? Not because I don't know that's what I need to do, but we need to be prepared to be able to do that. We need to be able to be in the mindset of, that's what I'm looking to do. Because when my interests are in a certain area, then I notice things. Then I become aware of my surroundings. Then I'm able to pick up on all the things that I can take and grow from. Oh, I see that. That's a useful piece of information for me because I'm looking for that. Oh, I see that. That is useful. But you have to want that. You have to be prepared for that. You have to internalize it, because the knowledge we know already, that we have. But it's the idea of being able to make it something that we truly desire. For the Rambam to hear the shofar was an awe-inspiring experience. He heard the shofar and his life was changed. He was awoken from his slumber. The things that he did that were a waste of time, I'm sure he didn't anyway, but for what he wants from us, the things that we do that are wastes of time, that's it, I can't do it anymore. I just heard that shofar. Because you're in a mindset, you're ready to hear that, that's what you want to do. You'll be able to walk past the mezuzah, and it's an intense, emotional, and spiritual experience, walking past the mezuzah. The goal is to internalize that. That's what it's for. The idea of a mezuzah is knowledge that's there to remind us of our path, but it's in order to really internalize that. And with that, I leave you with the suggestion, these last couple days are preparation for that. Are finding something, and it's not too hard if you stop and think about, finding something that says, Shem is my king, I am the created one and the subject. And what it would look like for me to be a better subject than what I am now is X. And X can be whatever X or Y or Z may be for each and one of you individually. But I've actually thought about that before Rosh Hashanah. I've prepared myself. I've internalized it and worked on it. And we still have 5-6 days left to be able to do that, to say I'm actively doing something every day from today until Rosh Hashanah to demonstrate, to think about, to work on actively, because you are my king, I am therefore going to either do or not do something. Whichever one is more apropos for you. Sometimes it's, I'm going to take something on and do something different, or I'm going to stop doing something which I have been doing, with the express thought of, I'm doing this because you are my king. And I'm going to work on that. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to internalize it. Because you know it now. I didn't just teach that to you for the first time. That we all know that. That's why we're here, sitting in this room, is because we believe Hashem is our King. but it has to actually impact us. And in order to impact us, the way Hashem set up the world, says the Ramchal, is that just because you know it doesn't mean anything. He set up the world in a way where you know it, but in order to actually do it, takes work. That's where the work is in internalizing that and preparing in small steps and thinking about and working that through to be there. So these last few days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, there is something, one thing, which you use to be able to say, every single day when I do this, it's because I'm accepting upon myself that you are my king. And I'm ready to accept that. Well, come Rosh Hashanah, when you hear that shofar, you're in a different place. You're ready to accept that message because that's what I've been working on. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to find ways to express myself as a subject of the King of the Kings. And when that's what you've been holding in, that's what you've been working on, that's what you've been striving to achieve, even if it's just in one thing, but it takes you through, your Rosh Hashanah experience is different because that's what you're interested in. That's where you're doing. And you show him that you're interested in it. And both in the sound of the shofar that you hear, as well as the entire experience of the Yontif, you're able to do the work, which is not the knowledge, but the internalizing of that knowledge, which is something which takes work. That is the job. That's the work of a Jew throughout our life, and specifically on these days preparing for the Yom Kippur. So I leave you with that thought, not intending to inspire you at all, of course, because the inspiration comes from within. You know the information. Right? I'm not going to say anything. That's not the goal. The goal is to be able to understand that the fact that we're so far from the mezuzah, so far from the shofar, from hearing and seeing these things and experiencing that, that's what we need to be looking to be able to do. And that's the job, our job in this world, is to take those messages and internalize the things that we already know, to move step by step in being able to live a life according to the life that we know, and not just know the life and think about being able to get there one day. I wish you all a ksiva v'chasima teva, a good year, a benched year, happiness and health to be signed and sealed in the Book of Life. A great Yontif.